G'day, Patty and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast. Welcome to it. It's Monday, 23rd of November.
Oh, it sure is. Let's just get through Monday together.
Look, for smelly people, including Rob and myself, something exclusive today.
Soap on a rope.
That's right. Patty and Rob Palmer's soap on the rope. It could be yours.
And the forum. Something has really got on my wick.
Look, when it comes to watching TV, seriously, brother, I'm hearing you. And we got your calls about that this morning.
Yep. And how about James Greenfield? Floored us. At 15 years old with a solo flight.
Last week, Qantas, as you know, celebrated its 100th birthday.
Yeah. Hats off, Qantas.
Yeah, tip it off, do you?
100 years.
And if that wasn't significant enough, James Greenfield, 15 years of age, on his 15th birthday, he attained his first solo flight. How would
you be? That's incredible.
That is 15 years of age.
Gee, I tell you.
Yep.
15. Yeah. I can't imagine my 15-year-old doing anything remotely close to that right now.
He joins us this morning. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Wow, 15 years old and flying. How long have you been flying, James?
I've been completing flying lessons with the school at one of our airports for the last 3.5 months.
So you say with the school?
3.5 months?
Yeah.
Is that part of the program at school, or is this something special that you're doing as an exemption?
I'm doing this after school.
Mate, why did you start flying? I know because your dad's a pilot, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right, and he's with Qantas.
Yeah.
All right. Now this solo flight, and when you went on, what type of plane did you fly?
I was flying a single engine 2-seater aircraft. It's called a American Champion Citabria. It's what? A Tower aircraft.
Gee whiz. So do you and your dad you're walking down the street looking up and identifying planes in the sky? Because it sounds like you know your stuff.
Yeah.
Mate, and James, so you last week, you're 15 years of age, it was your birthday, you thought, I'm going to get into the plane that you said. And how long was the flight for?
It was about 10 minutes because I had to go to school that morning. So.
Of course you did. What a great reason to be late. Sorry, the pattern was full. I couldn't get in.
Yeah. Mate, what about, have you been in any sticky situations when you're doing your training?
I've been in a few, such as strong winds. It was quite challenging. I've also, when you go solo, you have to demonstrate that you can handle emergency situations, such as engine failures. So I've been trained to handle those.
So you turn off the motor, you turn off the engine, and then you've got to restart it in the air.
Well, you have to show the instructor that if it comes to that situation, that you can pick an area and you have to try and land there. And once you've shown that, they put back the power and you continue as normal.
Oh, wow. Oh, so they basically, they're in there. It's like the instructor in a car where they got one foot on the brake. They basically sort of stall the plane and say, mate, I want you to land somewhere. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Mate, what do you hope to achieve? Do you want to do this full-time profession?
Yes, I hope to get my commercial pilot's license and hopefully one day work for an airline company.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're pretty proud of your dad.
Yeah.
How long's your dad been flying for Qantas for, James?
About 18 years.
18 years. Does he fly the big ones? Does he fly the big jets?
Yeah, he flies a 787 Dreamliner.
Is that what you want to do, the 787?
Hopefully, after a lot of hard work.
Yeah, of course. You don't just step out of your whatever plane that was you said earlier and jump into a jumbo. There's a bit of work behind it.
So you've got your pilot's license now. So if you wanted, could you ring up Warrnambool Airport and say, oh, I got a plane there. Can I take a spin?
Well, not just yet. I've still got a couple theory exams and a couple more practical tests to do. Yeah. Then once I turn 16, I can fly anywhere within the airport. Of 25 nautical miles.
So if you wanted later, you that's could you would say, hey, boys, some of your mates, do you want to go for a spin?
Yeah, but James Joy flights.
yeah, not in the car, up in the sky.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff, mate. What an achievement, mate. Well done, buddy.
Your dad must be hugely proud of you, James. Well done.
Yeah, he's quite proud.
Rob's not happy watching the rugby union.
Well, look, I was watching the rugby and my wife, bless her socks, love you, Gwen. She was having a conversation
disclaimer
in another language,
three.
Welsh.
Disclaimer
it's a beautiful language,
three.
But not when I'm trying to watch the footy.
All right, and as I said, I'll raise you, I'll give you the
talking
cigar.
To my sister-in-law, and it got louder and louder as I turned the TV up and up and up until she said, can you shut up, I'm trying to have a conversation.
Well, I'll swap the cicadas for Gwen and your sister-in-law. Shane from Empire Bay, what does it to you when you're trying to watch TV on 133353?
Well, my pet hate, Paddy, is barking dogs, but, like, back to Gwen there, Rob. Mate, when you write your wish list to Santa Claus this year for Christmas,
right.
Get some of those headphones, mate, cordless, you know?
Yeah, the earbuds.
And then yeah, and then if she walks in and drops the laundry pile in front of you, just put your feet on them, mate. Just chill.
Okay.
Just go with the flow, brother. You know, and you know what else? I'm loving your space news, but how can someone afford $2 million for a rock?
Oh, it's 4.5 billion years old, Shane.
Well, Mandy Kilden would be proud of you, mate. Get the space junk news coming, mate.
I'm glad you like it, Shane.
Thanks, Shane-o. 133353.
G'day, Deb from your minor.
Good morning, boys. How you going?
You're not bad.
Going all right. What's your pet peeve when you're watching the telly?
Oh, mate, it's ever since daylight saving started, there's this, that bird, if I find it, I'm going to shoot it, and then I'm going to poison the tree that it's in.
And it starts
at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, oh, that frigging. I even went out the back the other day. Stop laughing, Paddy. I'm really mad about this.
Yeah, she is.
And I had the hose, and I thought, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. And I went and hosed it over the fence. I'm thinking, that's not even my backyard. It's in there.
You're one of those neighbours. Deb, I love your sound of it.
Paddy.
Look, poor Deb, you sound desperate.
That's awful. You got no idea. Come over.
Just give it one more time.
Yep, that'll get me, Deb.
I'll swap that bird for my cicadas, okay?
Well, anytime.
Okay, the comments are Deb, not necessarily those of Triple M or the station.
We love birds.
Or us. And neighbours we love. Stace, Bluehaven, g'day.
G'day, Stacey.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. All right, what is it for you?
What ticks you right off?
On watching TV.
So my husband and I hardly ever get to watch TV, and when we do sit down to watch TV, the bloody kids get on the Google Home and put the music on, and then they turn it up louder and louder. So I turn the Spotify off on my phone, and then they turn it on again, and the TV goes up, and then we turn into a big argument. And, yeah, we miss out on the whole thing.
You spend the entire show battling over sound quality until you've missed it.
And no matter how many times I pack up that Google Home, it gets put out every single day.
Yeah, dogs, kids, cicadas and birds, nothing worse. Well, now, here, mainly because one of us ponged more than the other.
No, was on the bugle. Let's not point any fingers.
So, today.
Good of you to own up to that.
That's right. In light of all the statues and plaques that have been erected around the world, we
have created
something which is going to be hopefully leave our mark on you.
Yes.
Yes.
Our scent. Even.
What we've got for you is Paddy and Rob Palmer's
Soap on a rope.
That's exactly right.
Oh, this is good.
You know you made
Tell you what, when I first saw the finished product, Paddy, I thought, gee, there's been a lot of work gone into this.
Yeah. And what happened? Because Pongy Guts beside me.
Firstly, can we just thank the Harvest Garden?
Oh, thank you to Harvest Garden. Yeah. Thank you to Harvest. They've got their
natural
showroom.
Skincare.
Yeah.
Handcrafted right here on the
Central Coast.
In Tuggera.
And they've got $15 pamper sessions. But it was a couple of months ago. Like I said, I was sitting in this meeting and with, as I said, Pongy Guts beside me. And
we wanted something that was going to be handmade.
Yeah.
By someone that knew how to hand make stuff properly.
On the Central Coast.
Well, Harvest Gardens just jumped out at us.
Yeah, and so I thought, poor, surely he needs to wash and wash well.
You don't want to keep going back there. This is, it's a tribute. So
we got in contact with Ash, it is, and the team at Harvest Gardens. So what they did, they brought all these products into us.
They brought some super soaps.
Yeah, and then we had to smell. We had to get our big bugle.
Oh, what do we like?
Look at this proboscis.
Yeah,
like a Concorde land on the face.
Yeah.
And then I had to sniff this stuff.
Yep, you can smell a coffee bean at 3 kilometres.
Yeah, downwind the other way.
Yeah.
When the wind's blowing the other direction.
Paddy gets around airports on his hands and knees just to help out.
And so what we did, we had a sniff of this, all this stuff, and we've combined them to have Paddy and Rob Palmer's soap on a rope.
Yeah, we've come up with two soaps.
Yeah.
Now, a Paddy soap.
Yeah, and then Rob's soap.
And a Rob soap.
So what did you choose, mate?
Well, look, I like the scent of there was the flaxseed, lemongrass, turmeric sort of combo that was quite nice in both our choices, I believe.
Yeah.
But I like the green clay, spearmint and coffee beans. Those three mixed together.
Is it turmeric or turmeric?
Turmeric.
Yeah, well, I went for the flax seeds, the lemongrasses, Rob, but I went for the sweet orange and the patchouli.
Patchouli even?
Yeah, patchouli. Don't ask me what it is, but it smelled nice.
Yeah, it smelled nice.
And so they've melted all this stuff down.
The nose knows.
That's the nose does knows. And so we've melted all this down and we've got Paddy and Rob Palmer's soap. Oh, it's on a rope and you can hang it up.
Embossed with the Triple M logo.
Exactly. See,
and it's really quite a piece. And the thing is,
I've used it. Have you used it? I use mine. Oh, actually, I used yours.
It rubs off on you.
I used yours on the weekend because yours is the dark one.
And you thought of me and in the shower.
I did not.
You did.
I did not.
You went, that's Palmer's scent.
So it's all thanks to Ashley and the team at Harvest Gardens.
They do smell really nice.
A local family business, proudly Australian made and known, and hand make all their products using these natural ingredients in the Central Coast based soap factory.
And
so
whatever happened? Whatever happened to soap on a rope?
Don't know.
Because you just hang there on the thing and you just be able to just take it off.
I'm sure Dad used to get some for Christmas from that Avon thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we've got it now, it's back.
G'day, Martin from Wyoming.
How you doing? I'm in a ute with a mate and he needs some soap.
Okay. Oh,
your mate does.
Martin, what's your mate's name?
Aaron.
Aaron, okay.
Aaron, you stink.
All right. So, Martin, you are the first winner. You can have one piece of soap and Aaron can have the other.
At least we won't drop it in the shower.
Yeah. Hey, that's right, because it's on a rope.
You better drop it now.
Into the shower with a towel on your wrist. And it's foolproof.
We're going to send you some soap. It's really good smelling stuff, all right? So what do you think as you're there lathering up, say, when you get this soap week, what's your first body part that you're going to wash?
Oh, get up, no.
I don't know if I want to discuss that, you guys.
No, exactly.
Yeah. I've been listening to you for a while and you're both pretty sick, so no.
Okay, all right. You keep that to yourself.
Thank you, Martin. You and Aaron take good care.
Now, that doesn't mean that you've got to go and save water and shower together, you two boys.
Yeah, we won't.
You've got your own individual piece of soap, all right?
Not a chance.
Very good. Right. Glad to hear it.
Right. Well done, matey. And when you get it, when you use it, give us a call back and let us know what you think.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Good on you,
Marty. Thanks, Marty.
Cheers, thanks for that.
See you, mate. Bye. All right. Thank you, Marty. And we've got to thank Harvest Garden Natural Skincare Handcraft right here on the coast. That's in Tuggerah.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. It should be in the news instead of the other news.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Patrick.
A Pokemon game from the 90s, considered one of the hardest to find, has finally sold at auction for a record.
How much? It doesn't warrant a drum roll.
Oh, it does. It does. For a record. 114,000.
Oh, yeah? That's a lot of money for a game.
The only thing is the sealed. It's sealed Pokemon Red from the first generation of Pokemon games. We've all got them. Broke the world record for the price for a Game Boy collectible. But they've all got to be sealed, right?
I've never played it.
No.
Never understood it.
Can you remember the plastic cases they used to come in? It's got to be sealed. It's Heritage Auctions, Texas. So
you have to have bought it and never used it.
No.
What is the point? Why would you ever buy it in the first place?
For this reason, for it to go up in
I'm going to go out and buy games.
Yeah, that's what you do.
You buy two of each.
That's what you do.
One to play, one to make a mozzarella
out of. Exactly, 114,000. But I just went on eBay. If you normally have the Pokemon Red, you can sell them for $24.99. On eBay. So
that's
a
great.
Bit of a difference there between $114,000 and $24.
How about this?
Yeah, what do you got?
A man has come into some money after a meteorite. This is officially now space news.
Yep.
A meteorite worth $2 million crashed through the roof of his house. $2 million. $2,000.
So what? How
this is
it
in
worth?
North Sumatra.
Yeah.
This thing weighs 2.1 kilos.
Yeah. What's it made of?
It's around 4.5 billion, billion years old. That's a piece of space rock that you want to have. And basically it was come down and he was given the equivalent of 30 years salary for the rock.
Yeah.
He said when he lifted it, the stone was still warm. Because it had come from outer space and through the atmosphere.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. He brought it into the house.
Yeah.
He was going to use part of the earnings to build a church in his community.
And what did he do?
The church, they'll get you. They'll get your income.
Yeah, of course they will. Did he get on the drink instead with the money? What did he do?
No, he didn't. It was this guy called Jaron Collins, a US meteorite expert, and he said his phone lit up with crazy offers to jump on a plane and buy a meteorite because it was the middle of the COVID crisis. I didn't know what to do.
So what did he do?
Said the guy was a canny negotiator and ended up taking him for $2 million for the rock.
Did he sell it for $2 million?
$2 million.
Oh, wow.
So this guy from Indonesia.
Yeah.
Is $2 million richer just because of space rock, can't you?
Yeah. And he didn't have to go on the block and work.
Paddy, I've got another splendid idea.
Oh, what is it this time?
Well, anyone listening can just subscribe to the Paddy and Rob podcast and stay up to date.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?